And greetings, everyone. This is the second sermon that I've recorded, and I wasn't able in the first one to get into the book, Aftershock. The full title is Aftershock: Protect Yourself and Profit in the Next Global Financial Meltdown. There's a lot of good information in here. I will read some excerpts from it a little later. But as we speak, guess what's happening in Toronto, Canada? They have the G8 and the G20. Now, what is the G20, as I mentioned last time? Remember when the market collapsed in October 2008? What was the first thing that President Bush announced? There's going to be a meeting of all the central banks of the world, and we're going to call it the G20. And we need to have uniform regulations for all banks in the world, so that we will never again have the financial troubles that we had. Well, why would they do that? What is the best way to bring in what you want? Have a crisis. Now, they were losing so much money out of the money market funds that they were afraid that the whole banking system would collapse. And they never asked the question, who was doing it? Because somebody had to do it. And the why is so that they will be able to bring in a world bank. But in order to do that, you must first get all the central banks with the same regulations around the world. Now, they should be announcing that sometime soon, that they have all the banks agreeing to it. And I'll just tell you my thought when I first saw Timothy Geithner. When he nominated him, my thought was, world currency coming, world bank coming. And guess who's heading up doing this? Timothy Geithner. And that's why, even in spite of his own tax problems, he was approved. But they don't understand the cause of all that's going on, except they know that it is greed. Like Michael Douglas said in the movie, greed is good. Yes. And Dershowitz said, the 10th commandment's out of date. You know, coveting is how Wall Street was built. Now, they don't know who we are, God does, and they don't understand why it's happening, except they realize that there has been greed and there have been lies. But the real reason we find in Deuteronomy 28, and we'll read it, because the United States of America and the United Kingdom are the two sons, the descendants of the two sons of Joseph, Ephraim being United Kingdom, and Manasseh being the United States. But for Israel, and the name of Israel was to be on Ephraim and Manasseh. And because we received the land that was promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the blessings and the cursings that God gives, blessings for obedience, cursing for disobedience, not only affect the children of Israel, but also the whole world. That's why I've said many times, watch your television, hold the Ten Commandments in one hand, and look at the History Channel and National Geographic and ask the question, what commandments were they breaking? And you will see why they went through what they went through. All nations are judged by God all the time. All individuals are judged by God all the time through His laws. Just like all human beings are grounded to the earth, unless you're in a rocket going out to space, because God put the law of gravity here. all human beings breathe because God gave the body the ability to breathe. And from the instant you're born until your last breath, however long that may be, God gives you every breath that you have. Though, God doesn't have to be right there to do it. He has made it so that it works automatically. Same way with his laws. Same way with the financial laws. We'll look at some of those right now. Let's come to Deuteronomy 28 and verse 43. The stranger. Now this means the one who is not of the children of Israel. God is not against strangers, because he said, the stranger with you shall keep the same law. But God also uses them as punishment against the children of Israel for their sins. And as I've mentioned many times, with 55 to 60 million abortions, that is also equal to the number of legal and illegal immigrants in America. Had they been born, we would not have that problem, because we would not have sinned against God. So God is going to take away from us and give to those who are going to correct us. And you shall come down very low. Now here's the key I want to talk about here. Verse 44, he shall lend to you, and you shall not lend to him. Right now, the U.S. government and Europe are in a borrowing frenzy to try and borrow enough money to float all the debt. Now, the debt that just the federal government has from normal budgetary spending has accumulated to $13 trillion. But when you count all debt, government, state, agencies, individuals, guess how much debt the United States owes? $136 trillion. Okay? $136 trillion. Combine that with the rest of the world with another $130 trillion. Now you know the magnitude of the problem. That's why the book is called Aftershock, because the great shock is close at hand. Okay, let's look at a few proverbs before we find from this book some of the things that are going to happen. Proverbs 22. And verse 7. Let's go back to verse 6. The getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a vanity tossed to and fro by those who seek death. Isn't that interesting? That's verse 6, chapter 21. Beg your pardon. Slide over just across the page. Proverbs 21 and verse 6. Sorry about that. Sorry to mislead you. Okay? The getting of treasures by a lying tongue is vanity tossed to and fro by those who seek death. Isn't that something? Does that not sound like our banking system? Our derivative system? And what I'm going to do, I'm going to get the audio that I did several years ago, the $2 trillion meltdown. And you will see why this was coming. Authors of this book, Aftershock, predicted what would happen to the T in 2006, 2 years before it happened in 2008. Now, 22 and verse 7. The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is the slave to the lender. So when it talks about back there in Deuteronomy 28, he's going to put iron yoke on you through lending, that is the yoke of debt and interest. Did you know that it's going to take 28 5% of the federal budget this year just to pay the interest on what we owe. 28%. Now, when you look at the T-bill rates, what are they paying? Well, they're only paying about 1% on most of it. The highest percentage is a 30-year bond, but to buy it, you have to pay a premium instead of par. You pay par plus 5. So every $100 increment or $1,000 increment, you're paying $5 more per 100, $50 more per 1,000, okay, to buy the note. So the first year, you make virtually nothing. But if we have inflation, guess what's going to happen to the interest rate? Now think about this. If you had a house with an adjustable interest rate mortgage on it, and you were paying 1% interest, and we'll just use interest only, okay? 1% interest per year. That means that in a year, you would pay $1,000. That would mean your payment per month would be a little less than $100. All right? What if that goes up to 6%? Now it's $6,000 per year, and your payment immediately jumps to $500. Now you understand what happened to Greece. Remember they talked about Greece, the collapse of Greece? Because they had debt, and they had more debt than they could pay? They had their gross national product, whatever it was, if you took everything that was earned in Greece in a year, all of that would not cover the debt payment that they had due. And U.S. is following right close behind. Now, you see, even if they get conservatives into the government, they're not going to be able to change the interest payment. All right, let's go on. Let's come here to Isaiah 24. Isaiah 24 talks about what's going to happen in these times. And we're going to be facing really terrible times. Times we have not understood. Isaiah 24 and verse 2. Well, verse 1 says, "Behold, the Lord makes the earth empty and makes it waste and turns it upside down and scatters its inhabitants." Now, that's obviously when Christ returns. However, think about when disaster comes, the same thing applies. Verse 2, "And as it is with the people, so shall it be with the priest. As with the slave, so with the master. As with the handmaid, so with her mistress. As with the buyer, so with the seller. As with the lender, so with the borrower. As with the creditor, so with the debtor." When the financial collapse comes, that's exactly how it's going to be. Exactly how it's going to be. Okay? Isaiah 37. "I didn't know it, but the San Benito Bank and the five banks associated with them, an investor came and bought all the shares at $6 a share." All right. Isaiah 37, verse 21. "Isaiah the son of Amos sent to Hezekiah, saying, Thus says the Lord." Oh, is it 37 or 38? Oh, that's not the one I want. Beg your pardon. "Hear this, I pray you, heads of the house of Jacob, and magistrates of the house of Israel, who hate judgment and pervert all equity. They build up Zion with blood and Jerusalem with iniquity, her heads judged for a bribe." Not something? That's called political donation, isn't it? "And her priests teach for pay, and her prophets divine for silver, yet they lean on the Lord and say, Is not the Lord among us? No evil can come on us." So God says, therefore, Jerusalem is going to be plowed. It's going to be quite a thing. Okay? Now let's come back here to the book of Isaiah, chapter 10. quite a few places in here that talk about these kinds of situations. When I was up north, I went through Isaiah, the first chapter. That's quite a chapter. Isaiah 10, verse 1. Woe to those who decree unrighteous edicts, and to those who issue oppressive decrees. Sounds like some of our bureaucracies, doesn't it? Yes. To turn aside the needy from judgment, and to steal the right from the poor of my people, that widows may be their prey, and they may rob the orphans. And what will you do in the day of judgment and destruction? Because it's sure to come. In the day of devastation which shall come from afar, to whom will you flee for help? And where will you leave your wealth? Quite sobering words, isn't it? Yes, indeed. All right. Let's come back to the book of Amos. Look at all these scriptures that talk about, and we'll see how this works out when we get into this book. Amos 5. And this is kind of how people feel today. I mean, sometimes you're almost afraid to turn on the news because you don't know what other disaster is going to be announced. You don't know what's going to take place. Amos 5. Hosea, Joel, Amos. There we go. We're getting there. Sticky pages. All right. Hosea 5. Pick it up here in verse 12. For I know your many transgressions and your many sins. They afflict the just. They take a bribe. They turn aside the poor at the gate. Therefore the prudent shall be silent in that time, for it is an evil time. Isn't that something? God says, verse 14, seek the good and not evil, that you may live, so that the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you. As you have spoken, hate the evil, love the good, establish justice in the gate. It may be that the Lord of hosts will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. Now we hope that's so. We hope there's enough repentance. We hope that things can be turned around spiritually and can be turned around politically. But we are worse than between a rock and a hard spot. We're between a rock and a hard spot and drowning in debt. All right. Now I'm going to read some excerpts from this book. Remember, they predicted in 2006 what would happen in 2008. Now, have you ever heard of an economic bubble? You know what an economic bubble is? That is when prices of everything go up because of certain events, but the price increase is artificial. It's not because of real wealth. It can be because of stock market manipulation. It can be because of cheap money. That's how we had the housing bubble. Cheap money. And then loans given to people that they knew would never be able to pay for them. Plus, the government mandated that Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae sell them to Wall Street, and Wall Street was mandated to buy them. So what do when they get these loans? Well, they look at them and they see these loans are not very good. But how can we sell them? Well, we put a lot of good loans in a stack and put these on the bottom of the stack. And then we certify the whole package of loans and we sell them to an investor. Those have been sold around the world. And guess who owns bundles and bundles of them? China. So will some people hear a knock on their door one day and you find a Chinaman there with authorization to repossess your house? How about the businesses that they have bought? Okay. Now, let me come here to page 6. They said in 2006, they saw six economic bubbles linked together, holding one another up, all supporting a seemingly prosperous U.S. economy. Now, what happened? There were accounts of people. See, because it's not just Wall Street that is greedy. Homeowners are greedy. Businesses are greedy. Banks are greedy. And what did they do? In order to draw out cash, they refinanced as many as five times within a period of several years. Okay? Home prices that high are not sustainable without a similar rise in the ability of the borrowers to keep paying those prices. So therefore, it collapsed. Unlike in a healthy economy, in this falling multiple bubble economy, the usual strategies of returning to our previous prosperity no longer apply. That's why there's no rebound. That's why everything is still flat and going down. We have, in fact, entered new territory. The worst is yet to come. Okay? Let's see what we have here. Stock market bubble. Where did it go to? 14,000. Real estate bubble. Houses doubling in price in just a few years. And what they did, they looked at the statistics and said, well, housing prices have been going up since the 40s. They'll continue to go up. But people's income didn't. So you had the stock market bubble, you had the real estate bubble, you had the private debt bubble. Everybody could get a credit card. There for a while, Dolores and I would get four or five credit card applications every week. Every week. You're approved for $10,000. You're approved for $50,000. Well, we didn't get any of them. Okay? All right. Now he says, now's not the time for someone to cheer you up. Now is the time to get it right, because you won't care in 3 years if someone cheered you up today. What you will care about is that you made the right financial decision. He says, now the rest of this book, when you go through it, it's only bad news for your personal economy if you don't do anything about it. Now let me come to page 25. Goes through and this is quite a book. I recommend that you get it. I'll give you the things here. Okay? You know it's a bad economy when your bank returns your check as insufficient funds and you have to call them and ask if they meant you or them. When the most highly paid job is now jury service. When people in Beverly Hills fire their nannies and are learning their children's names. When McDonald's is selling quarter-ouncer hamburgers. Obama met with small businesses, GM, Chrysler, Citigroup, and GE, to discuss the stimulus package. You know it's a bad economy when Hot Wheels and Matchbox cars are now trading at higher prices than GM stock. You know it's a bad economy when you get a pre-declined credit card in the mail. Pre-declined. All right, here are the bubbles. And they all broke at the same time. There are two more bubbles waiting to break. Actually, three. Real estate bubble. Not true? How many empty homes are right here in Hollister? And how many bank repossessions are selling for 50% what people paid for them 3 years ago? Every one of them. The stock market bubble. The private debt bubble. Don't you hear that all the time? Watch the news. There are two things that you need to watch in the advertisement on the news. Number one, buy gold. But most people don't have enough to buy gold. Because when everything falls down, gold is going to be the only thing, and silver and maybe platinum and a few other things have any value. And the other one is the tax man after you? Okay? how to get rid of your credit card debts, how to declare Chapter 7 bankruptcy. All right. The fourth bubble, the third bubble is the private debt bubble. We just covered that. Okay. Now, I've been saying for 15 years, get out of debt. Get out of debt. Okay. Some people listened. Some people did not. We don't run people's lives. You have to choose. The next one to break was the discretionary spending bubble, which is hit right now. Retail sales in department stores are down, guess how much? 20%. Sporting goods are down. All the discretionary spending, all of the vacationing, all of the things that people spent money on. Those who are wise are holding on to their money. And they're not spending, and they're not going in debt. All right? These bubbles began to burst in the bubble quake that rocked the U.S. and world economies in late 2008 and 2009. And the stock market today up at 10,000? Way overpriced. It's coming down. You wait and see. Next one is the dollar bubble. And after that, the government debt bubble. Okay? Then it shows how those things took place. Let me come over here to page 46. Yes. Pop goes the private debt bubble. Here's what happens. It says the full debt crisis hasn't kicked in yet, but it's going to. Private debt bubble will prop up twice. In phase one, bad loans go bad. In phase two, good loans go bad. Think about that. How many people are going to lose their jobs? I mean, look what's going to happen down there in the Gulf. That's going to create economic havoc of unbelievable magnitudes, because there will be people, and it will be a domino effect. You know, you've seen the pictures of dominoes. You just start one, and they all go right to the end. People lose jobs, can't make their payments. The people that are supposed to receive the payments can now not make their payments. And right on down the line, that's going to happen on a massive scale down in the Gulf. Okay? Come page 53. Now remember, all the things that we talked about up to this point happened in relatively good economic times, didn't they? But phase two, the aftershock, will be far less gentle on the banking system. So it's going to go down. We're going to be looking at unemployment. What do you think unemployment's going to come to? Anybody guess? Probably between 20 and 30% in 73. Boy. Okay. Now, the aftershock, phase two. This is what's going to happen. Pop goes the dollar. Now, how are you going to know the dollar's falling out of bed? Because no one will take it. When you see on the news that the government had an auction where they could not sell the treasury bills, the government debt and the dollar debt have collided together. Then it's going to fall. Okay? Page 68. There we go. Most foreign-held investments in dollars won't flow out of the United States. They will go to money heaven. Do you know what money heaven is? Money heaven is this. You hold a note for $1 million against a building over here. They can't pay it. Now the building is only worth $200,000. So you lost $800,000, went to money heaven. Okay. Here, let's look at a Proverbs. Proverbs 23. Bible even talks about that. Proverbs 23, verse 5. Okay. When your eyes look upon it, it is gone. For truly riches make wings for themselves, and they fly into heaven like an eagle. That's where they got the money, heaven. That's right. Now, what's going to happen when you go to the store? And it will happen. They say, sorry, no checks. Sorry, no credit cards. Do you have any cash? Yes. I have a $100 bill. That's worth 50. Give you an example. Remember Bear Stearns, he says? All the foreign investors invested in Bear Stearns. In early 2008, the value of its stock went from about $28 billion. So here you're holding the stock. You paid so much for it. They say the value is so much for it. $28 billion, guess what it went down to? $2 billion practically overnight. Okay? And that's where the $26 billion went to. Money, heaven. When the dollar bubble falls, all foreign-held investments in dollar-denomination assets will not have a chance to run out of the United States. Instead, that capital will go to the same place your home equity went when the housing bubble popped. I remember I went down to pay the insurance on the house. And the insurance agent said, well, what is the value of a house with all the prices and everything going up? And I said, well, I think it's all artificial. He says, well, I think your house is worth over $800,000 now. I said, I don't want to insure it for that much. He said, if it burned down tomorrow, what it would cost? He'd say $600,000. Well, since then, I've reduced it down to what it should be, $300,000. So when it falls, it's going to fall. It will go to the same place your 401k and other retirement account funds went when the stock bubble dropped to half its peak value. That means nothing. The value of the dollar can and will fall very rapidly, so rapidly that most foreign investors won't have the time to sell. Only those who sell early will escape money heaven, which is a big motivating factor to sell off as the dollar starts to fall, but too late. Panic selling. Everyone wants to get rid of it then. Then he gives some recommendations what to do with that. I won't go through those. Okay? Let me come to page 75. Page 75. Our debt. The United States is five times our tax income. Now think of this. Could you go to the bank and say, I want to borrow $500,000, but I'm only worth $100,000 and my income is only worth $25,000? Well, the bank says, oh, that's wonderful. Yes, we'll lend you the money. See? Well, that's what they've been doing with these government bonds. See? People used to compare GDP, partly that is gross domestic product, as a way of making debt look smaller and more manageable than it really is. But it's not. As of May 2009, 16 cents of every dollar spent by the U.S. government is being borrowed, and in 2010, it's getting up close to 30 cents borrowed. Now, give you an example of the problems that they're headed for. What did they do just yesterday? They voted not to pass the $100 billion jobs and stimulus bill. Going to end unemployment benefits. Okay. Oh, hooray, we're not adding to the debt. Aren't we good? Guess what's going to happen out in the countryside? All those folks receiving unemployment, they can't get a job. Now, that's going to make things even worse. See? So we're at the point, the more you try to do, the worse it's going to get. So even if there is a change, Just suppose the Republicans sweep everything and get in and they control everything and they cut spending and they cut all of those things. They haven't removed one dime of debt. And they're going to have to pay for it. All right, let's take a break.